and she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became angry, very angry, and his countenance fell. That's the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Our Father, this morning, as we come to you and we prepare our hearts to partake of the bread and the cup in memorial of your Son, I pray that you would focus our thoughts upon the suffering of the Son you sent, who provided the only acceptable sacrifice for our sin. Now bless the reading of your word and the explanation of it, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The story before us involves a conflict. It's a conflict between two brothers, but really two brothers that represent two different ideologies, two different approaches to God. The exact nature of this conflict is, I guess you could say, of some mysterious nature to us. We don't have all the details, so we'll have to use some speculation, but I do believe we have enough details in the text to be sure of what's going on in this conflict. It's really a conflict between a way of approaching God that is pure versus impure, or a way of approaching God that is acceptable to God and a way that is not. And this text, I believe, shows us that God will only accept the blood sacrifice. By extension, as we consider the Son, Jesus Christ, this morning, God will only accept the blood sacrifice of his Son. That is the only sacrifice that he will ultimately accept for our sin. And in the earliest of families, in the earliest of the history of fallen humanity, we see these two brothers representing two sacrifices, acceptable and unacceptable. So here's the two brothers we see. And they're really the first demonstration of the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Remember that from Genesis 3:15 that we looked at a couple months ago? The first family, Adam and Eve, the first parents, had these boys. And in verse 1, we read that Eve, when she conceived, she gives birth to Cain, and she says, I've gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Actually, in the Hebrew, it literally reads, I have gotten a man-child, the Lord. It's just the Lord there. So some scholars have speculated that perhaps Eve was looking at Cain, this firstborn son of hers, as the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. Can you imagine that? God promises to Adam and Eve in the garden, immediately following their sin, that they will have a child, that one will come who's born of the seed of a woman who will crush the serpent's head. He will redeem humanity from the curse of sin. And some scholars believe that when they have their first child, they are under the impression that this is that child. Well, if that's the case, that would be extremely ironic, because Cain will turn out to be anything but the seed of God. He will represent the seed of the serpent, so will his line. And here, Adam and Eve initially believed in God. They believed in God's deliverance. I believe we have every reason to think that Adam and Eve will be in heaven. And yet they had no idea how far and deep the effects of their curse, the curse of sin, would go. So the two boys here, we read, are Abel and Cain. And in verse 2, she gives birth to Cain's brother, Abel. Abel was a keeper of the flocks, we read. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. So we have two boys, Abel, the younger, he's a shepherd, he keeps flocks, and Cain, the elder, he is a farmer, he tills the ground. Now, verses 3 through 7, we see two offerings, two different approaches to God, and they really represent two systemic approaches to God even today, two different religions, if you will. And it seems both these boys had religious motives, or at least some desire to be rightly related to God. I think they had different reasons for approaching God, how they did, but they both did approach to God. They both offer him sacrifice. You see that, verse 3. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of the flock and their fat portions. So both boys are in the habit, apparently, of offering sacrifices to God. Where on earth would they have gotten that notion? Well, I believe from their parents. who were in the habit of offering sacrifices to God. Where did Adam and Eve get that notion? Well, that's what we looked at last month, where God himself really performs the first sacrifice. Adam and Eve try to stitch together fig leaves, cover their shame. They can't do it. God says, you can't cover your nakedness your way. I have to do it. He slays an animal, and with the skins of that animal, appropriately clothes them. Provides a covering, an atonement, in a sense. And Adam and Eve would pass on this tradition, this, you could say, commandment or ritual to their boys, Cain and Abel, who also perform offerings. They give offerings, but they do it different ways. Do you see that? So Abel, he's offering from the firstlings of his flock. That means the very best. He's giving to God of the first fruits. And he's giving the sacrifice of his flocks. It would be a blood sacrifice. He'd offer one of his animals. But Cain, he offers from the fruit of the ground. And this is what we read at the end of verse 4. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. God has favor. He is pleased with the offerings of the one boy, the younger, Abel, but he doesn't accept Cain's. Why? What's going on here? Well, again, there's not all the details spelled out maybe as clearly as we would like in the text. Some have thought that Cain was simply not offering God the best of his fruit, and that was the issue. The text doesn't explicitly tell us that, but that could be the case. But many, including myself, believe that God had respect to Abel's offering, namely because it was the pattern he prescribed. It was a blood sacrifice. It caused the death of a living animal. And we would go on to see in the Old Testament, throughout the Bible, the significance of the blood. If you just even read Leviticus, or you read the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, and you can see the premium that God places upon the blood sacrifice in particular. That's not to say that God wouldn't require a percentage of all the increase of his people, including the fruit of the ground, and yet we see throughout the Bible, it is the blood sacrifice that was the universal standard. Why? Because it would be a body that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would take upon himself. He would become human flesh, and his blood would literally be spilt. And so that would best typify what God would do. It would best prefigure the sufferings of the Lamb of God to come. Now, the fact that God does not accept Cain's offerings, but accepts Abel's, I think is another noteworthy truth for us here. And God even confronts Cain and goes on to say, if you just do what's well, implying if you do what I command you, well, what do you have to be upset about? AKA, I will receive your sacrifice. I will receive your offerings. But Cain refused to offer God the sacrifice that he demanded. Instead, Cain, for whatever reason, was angry and out of envy, slew his brother Abel. It was the first murder ever committed. How ironic, how interesting within the first family. What's going on here? Well, apparently, Cain did not wish to offer God one of the animals from his brother's flocks. He was apparently loath to do that. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to offer to God the works of his own hands, which was the fruit of his own toil. But God wanted a blood sacrifice. Hebrews 9:22, and according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. From the very beginning, God performed the first blood sacrifice. We saw that in the Garden of Eden. But now, God is showing us that he required a blood sacrifice. And so, in this communion service, let us remember that the only sacrifice which God will accept is the blood and body sacrifice of his Son. The blood and body sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that is the only acceptable sacrifice. And that is the only sacrifice by which our sins may be covered. Let's pray. Father, as we approach your throne this morning, we can pray that you would be blessed, you would be pleased and uplifted in this memorial service, in this time of remembrance, in this time of honoring you and your Son and the Holy Spirit for the sacrifice which Jesus made. We thank you that Jesus Christ, by his body and blood, by taking on human flesh just as real as ours, did indeed present to you an acceptable sacrifice for all who believe. We glorify you in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.